Her mind seemed to get in the way. She padded across the room and pushed open the tiny window. The strange nighttime smells of civilization drifted in. The damp smell of the streets, the fragrance of garden flowers, the distant hint of an overloaded privy. There were wet tiles outside. As Skilla started back up the stairs, she pushed the staff out onto the roof and crawled after it, steadying herself on the carvings above the window. The roof dipped down to an outhouse, and she managed to stay at least vaguely upright as she half-slid, half-scrambled down the uneven tiles. A 6-foot drop onto a stack of old barrels, a quick scramble down the slippery wood, and she was trotting easily across the inn yard. As she kicked up the street mists, she could hear the sounds of arguments coming from the riddle. Skilla rushed past his wife and laid a hand on the tap of the nearest barrel. He paused and then wrenched it open. The smell of peach brandy filled the room, sharp as knives. He shut off the flow and relaxed.
"Afraid it would turn into something nasty?" asked his wife.
He nodded.
"You hadn't been so clumsy," she began.
"I tell you, it bit me."
"You could have been a wizard and we wouldn't have to bother with all this. Have you got no ambition?"
Skilla shook his head.
"I reckon it takes more than a staff to make a wizard," he said. "Anyway, I heard where it said wizards aren't allowed to get married. They're not even allowed to..."
He hesitated.
"To what? Allowed to what?"
Skilla writhed.
"Well, you know, thing."
"I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about," said Mrs. Skilla briskly.
"No, I suppose not."
He followed her reluctantly out of the darkened barroom. It seemed to him that perhaps wizards didn't have such a bad life at that. He was proved right when the following morning revealed that the 10 barrels of peach brandy had indeed turned into something nasty. Esk wandered aimlessly through the grey streets until she reached Ahulin's tiny river docks. Broad, flat-bottomed barges bobbed gently against the wharfs, and one or two of them curled wisps of smoke from friendly stovepipes. Esk clambered easily onto the nearest and used the staff to lever up the oilcloth that covered most of it. A warm smell, a mixture of lanolin and midden, drifted up. The barge was laden with wool. It's silly to go to sleep on an unknown barge, not knowing what strange cliffs may be drifting past when you awake, not knowing that bargees traditionally get an early start, setting out before the sun is barely up, not knowing what new horizons might greet one on the morrow. You know that. Esk didn't. Esk awoke to the sound of someone whistling. She lay quite still, reeling the evening's events across her mind until she remembered why she was here, and then rolled over very carefully and raised the oilcloth a fraction. Here she was, then. But here had moved.
"This is what they call sailing, then," she said,
watching the far bank glide past.
"Doesn't seem very special."
It didn't occur to her to start worrying. For the first 8 years of her life, the world had been a particularly boring place, and now that it was becoming interesting, Esk wasn't about to act ungrateful. The distant whistler was joined by a barking dog. Esk lay back in the wool and reached out until she found the animal's mind and borrowed it gently. From its inefficient and disorganized brain, she learnt that there were at least 4 people on this barge, and many more on the others that were strung out in a line with it on the river. Some of them seemed to be children. She let the animal go and looked out at the scenery again for a long time. The barge was passing between high orange cliffs, now banded with so many colours of rock, it looked as though some hungry god had made the all-time record club sandwich, and tried to avoid the next thought. But it persisted, arriving in her mind like the unexpected limbo dancer under the lavatory door of life. Sooner or later she would have to go out. It wasn't her stomach that was the pressing point, but her bladder brooked no delay. Perhaps if she... The oilcloth over her head was pulled aside